So what about Judas Iscariot? Every Easter, somebody asks me, what do you think happened with Judas Iscariot? This Monday, at a house group in Winscombe, right at the end, it's always right at the end of an evening when I'm thinking, oh yeah, you know, we'll just have a prayer and then I can get off. And then they ask this question and I think, oh, grief. So there's lots of varying thoughts about Judas Iscariot. And today we're going to look at this man who followed Jesus for 3 years of his life. So the event that Sam's talking about there is the Last Supper. So right kind of Maundy Thursday, just before Jesus' trial and death. So very kind of significant part of the Easter story. And there's very few parts of the Easter story that feel as troubling or as mysterious as the betrayal by Judas Iscariot. It's one of the darkest moments in the Gospels. He was a trusted disciple. He kept hold of the money. He turned against his teacher, and so a friend became a betrayer. Yet, even here in this shadowed moment, we glimpse something of the wonder and depth of Christ's death. Judas wasn't an outsider. I sometimes watch like crime films, you know, a series of crimes, and sometimes they bring in somebody completely from outside and he's done the dastardly deed, and it just seems like a cop-out to me. Well, Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 disciples chosen by Jesus. He walked the dusty roads with Jesus, he listened to the parables, he witnessed the miracles, and he shared meals with the others, spent all his time in the others' company. He had been chosen by Jesus, he was trusted, he was included. And that alone makes the betrayal feel even more shocking. It reminds us that evil doesn't come from always from distant enemies. It can arise close at hand, even amongst those who have seen the goodness of God. And yet, beyond that kind of basic story, we have greater meaning. First of all, Jesus knew. That is the first mystery. The Gospels tell us that Jesus was not surprised. At the Last Supper, he spoke openly about the coming betrayal. We've just heard that. He dipped bread and he gave it to Judas. And in John's Gospel, we sense that Jesus looked directly into the reality of what was coming, and yet he didn't resist it. That moment holds deep wonder. Jesus shared bread, an act of friendship, an act but from one friend to another, but that was with the very one who would betray him. No anger, no sudden rejection, no attempt to humiliate Judas before the others. Instead, there was quiet dignity, even tenderness. It is as if Christ was showing us something essential about his death. It wouldn't be forced upon him. The whole of the end chapters of John's Gospel reveal that to us. Christ is in charge throughout his trial, his torture, and his death. Jesus would receive this. He would walk towards the cross with open eyes and an open heart. And then if we remember, Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas approaches him with the whole crowd of the temple guard. And there he kisses Jesus to signify to the guards that this was the man. And a kiss is normally a sign of affection, friendship, respect. Judas used it as a signal to identify Jesus to the soldiers. It was betrayal wrapped in the language of love. And yet when Judas approached, Jesus addressed him as friend. What astonishing grace is revealed in that word. Even in the act of betrayal, Jesus didn't abandon the language of relationship. He didn't strike Judas down or call for revenge. Instead, he met treachery with calm and courage. Here we see the wonder of Christ's death beginning to unfold. The cross would not be about retaliation, but reconciliation. Not about punishment, but about redemption. Even the betrayer was not beyond the reach of Christ's compassion. So this leads us to one of the deepest mysteries of all. Even the people who betray you are part of God's plan. Jesus couldn't get to the cross without Judas. God's purposes were not defeated by betrayal, they were carried forward through it. Judas intended harm. He chose that way. The religious leaders intended control. The soldiers intended arrest. Yet through all these actions, God was weaving something greater than human intentions. The betrayal became the pathway to the cross. The cross became the doorway to resurrection. Doesn't mean betrayal was good, it was tragic and it was painful. But it shows us that God's love is strong enough to work even through the darkest actions of humanity. And yet the cross stands as God's declaration that no failure, no betrayal, no brokenness is beyond redemption. In Judas, we see the darkness of human choice. As Sam read, Satan enters Judas as he goes out into the darkness. In Christ, we see the brightness of divine mercy. The mystery of Christ's death is not simply that he suffered, but that he suffered willingly in the face of betrayal. He absorbed hatred without returning it. He carried the burden of sin without abandoning love. And so the wonder is this, that through betrayal came salvation. A kiss led to arrest, an arrest led to trial. A trial led to the cross, and the cross led to the victory of the empty tomb. So as we reflect on Judas and his betrayal, we do not look only with sorrow, we look with awe. Because even in humanity's darkest moment, God was at work bringing light. Christ's death shows us that love is stronger than treachery. Grace is deeper than guilt. And mercy is wider than our worst failures. And perhaps the greatest wonder of all is this, that the one who has betrayed still offers friendship to us, to the broken, to the uncertain, inviting us not into despair, but into forgiveness, hope, and new life. Amen. Now, Georgina.